We're going to try and soundproof that wall, and we've got some ideas about that. Yes. So, who's been at this camp before? Wow, quite a few of us have stayed here in the past. I certainly remember we brought our little kids back in the day to this campsite for an AFES conference in Katoomba. So I've got that memory. I want to tell you a bit about our vision. It's all in the book, but our vision for this year, just say a few things alongside of what's said in the book. And Stuart's going to also speak, and then we're going to get into groups and pray about this year. First, I want to remind you of the theme of the year, the power, it's Church in the Power of the Spirit, which we talked about last week. And the New Testament's teaching on the Spirit is very prominent, as I'm sure you know. And the Old Testament, not so much, but New Testament, amazing coming to be of teaching on the Spirit, rich and full and extraordinary teaching. Because the person and ministry of the Spirit is very, very important to the early Christians and to the writers of the New Testament. And they do draw our attention to his work in our lives very strongly. The Spirit was sent, says Jesus in the passages that we just read, to be the second advocate. The Greek word is paraclete, meaning advocate, comforter, helper, supporter, counselor, and advisor. It has that wide range of meanings. Carrying on the ministry that Jesus had with his disciples. So that's very exciting. And so the Spirit came as a foretaste of heaven, in that the Spirit brings us into fellowship with the risen and ascended and glorified Jesus Christ. And we experience the presence of Jesus through the Spirit as we follow Jesus, put our faith in him, worship him, abide in him. We become aware of the Spirit in our lives, helping us, comforting us, advising us, and so on. So that's really a taste of heaven and something that the disciples knew would never leave them. Not in this life, and in fact, forever, we are now in fellowship with Jesus through his Spirit. And the Spirit came to change us to become more like Christ and to indwell us and seal us and prepare us for the new creation that is coming. And the Spirit came also to give us gifts so that the ministry of Jesus can continue through us as we use those gifts one to another. And these things are the main emphases of the teaching on the Spirit in the New Testament. And from one standpoint, you could summarise our Christian life as life in the Spirit, which to New Testament believers is supernatural living, as I say, being caught up into heaven in our lives, knowing the living God within us and fellowship with Jesus in the Spirit. Wow, is the very heart of our experience of God. And it meant everything to the New Testament writers, and they said a great deal about it. So this is what we want to explore this year in Soma Blue Mountains. And there's a book that I think would be great for everyone to read. It's called Keep in Step with the Spirit by Jim Packer. What I hope will happen is that we will have a fresh understanding of the Spirit in this year, and that we will come to honour the Spirit's work, not quench the Spirit's work among us, as the Spirit draws us to follow Jesus. So looking ahead, again, everything's in the book. Our focus is still on gospel communities. We're up to the second slide. And gospel communities are really about life-on-life discipleship, but really we could talk about gospel communities as life in the Spirit. With the Spirit at work among us, uniting us and drawing us into faith in Jesus and following Jesus, and empowering us to reach out to others with the gospel. So that's what they are. And we're doing, that's the range of them in the Blue Mountains as such. Second slide, this is a picture of, we've got the next one? Third slide. Picture of, what was it called? I don't even know. The Oaks before they multiplied. I love it, love it. So this is still our main game that we want gospel communities to really thrive. Next slide. Our communities, the gospel communities are supported by two gatherings that aim to make much of Jesus. They've got to make a lot about Jesus. We have to. Those gatherings need to be rich in the gospel and rich in Jesus Christ himself. And the Spirit will work as we focus on Jesus. The preaching, the singing, the content needs to focus on Jesus and through Jesus knowing the Father. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 11 to 16, centering on spiritual gifts, very controversial area that we'll start with, and then the resurrection of Jesus at Easter time, and then in term two, a theological series on the Holy Spirit, and in term three, the book of Acts, and term four, putting it all together. And we'll have more interviews and spots to help encourage you and train you for your gospel community life. And there'll be a series called Life Hacks, which are helping people to practically live that out. Our gatherings will have the two time slots, 9:30 a.m. and 4 p.m., two locations, Blaxland Public School. Valley Heights Grammar in the end said no, so we can't go to Valley Heights Grammar. So we're still at this stage at Blaxland Public School in the morning and here at Camp Fletcher in the afternoon. But the point of that is that there'd be a gathering accessible to all of us at either time slot and at either position. So we have people from Hartley. Can we go back to that map? All the way, we can't even see Hartley on the map. It's off the map. And oh, that's Little Hartley. But Hartley's even further, right? I don't know where you guys are.
Little Hartley.
Little Hartley, okay, yeah. And all the way to past Kingswood. Where are Libby and Ben there?
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, oh, wow.
Which is there as well.
Which is there. So that's our spread of people in our church. And we're trying to get these two gatherings and get them to grow and be very vibrant, so that they can support gospel communities right across the mountains. It's difficult to jump from 160 to 200, which is what we're trying to do in the next phase of our church. That's always a very tricky scaling up thing that churches find, that they try to go bigger and then come back, because it requires new thinking and new structure and more staff and more resources and so on. So we really do need those two gatherings to grow and for more gospel communities to multiply. We have six gospel communities associated with the morning gathering, four in the evening, and one that's split between the two. We'd love to have 14 or 15 gospel communities by the end of the year. Two pastors, Tim and Toby, as I step back in the next few years and as we seek to grow both gatherings. Thirdly, venues. We've begun a partnership with Camp Fletcher, and we want this to be some kind of home base to gather here as needed, but also to meet here whenever we need to meet during the week. We have an office here, and the site is available for us for 60% of the year, because there are camps for only 40%. So, or 200 days, I think, that it's available for us to use in the year. It's still early days, and we don't know how our partnership with Camp Fletcher will develop. Part of the process is we will consider affiliation with the congregational churches who own the site. But that we're not going to rush that. Let us know if you'd like to book the facility and use it for some reason, so we now have access to it. Cam wants to make a recording studio here. We hope to have a concert in March, and it's a great facility for youth and kids, and we'd love to expand that ministry as our kids getting older and turning into young people. Yeah, so it's a wonderful facility potentially, and we pray that God will continue to bless our relationship with Camp Fletcher. It does need a fair bit of work, and we laid some carpet tiles in the rec room already, and there's many things that we need to do to make it comfortable for us. Simon and Emily live here and help caretake, and Simon and Dan, as in Dan and Ebony Dan, we have three Dans, are converting the first cabin as you come in into an Airbnb as an experiment. They might go on and then convert five of those cabins into Airbnb as Camp Fletcher begins to explore different options for using the site. We're going to put a permanent sign at the entrance, Sign of the Blue Mountains, so that's exciting. And Toby's going to be on the Camp Fletcher board. Yeah, or someone will be, hopefully Toby. Yeah. So they've invited us to have someone on there. Fourthly, staff. We want to support our ministry through adequate staff. We have five, myself, Toby, Annie, Tim and Cam. And we're all part-time, totaling 1.8 full-time. And we're looking for a children's ministry leader 2 days a week. We believe strongly in voluntary ministry, and the staff really are here to train and support and catalyse volunteers. We don't want to employ staff who aren't doing that. We're only employing staff who train, catalyse, help organise and support you in your ministry, especially your ministry in your gospel community, but in your life generally as well. So yeah, we don't want to replace in any sense the idea of every member ministry, but rather to take some of the pressure off some of the things so that you guys are freed up to be involved, particularly in gospel communities. And for the gatherings and the administration and the various things, children's ministry, not to be too much of a burden for you. So that's what we're trying to do with staff. We're not looking to other churches to do what they do. We are trying to think through what does it mean to be a gospel community or a missional community church, and how does that change how we think about things. And we want to see our gospel communities thrive and multiply as a first priority. The next slide, the children's worker we're hiring. Again, we need to support the children's ministry and free up energy for gospel communities. We have an unusually high percentage of children and very little children in our church, which is a very demanding time for parents. So we need someone to lead, train and encourage in this area, thinking through not only children's ministry at the gathering, but how kids are involved in their gospel community and taking a role in ministry in their gospel community and also learning and being discipled in their gospel community. And we also want somebody who can support parents. So thank you for Dan, Lyndall and Katie for your work of writing and organising Sunday programs for kids. But we do need a longer term solution to that because they can't sustain that. And again, we want to free them up. Katie, for example, and Dan are both leading in gospel communities. And we want to employ someone, not just to write the materials, but to catalyse that whole aspect of our ministry in gospel communities, the gathering and helping parents. So we have a job description on Facebook and various places. Please pass that on to anybody you feel may fit the bill. We were hoping to employ somebody within the congregation. We haven't found anyone yet. They'll need to be competent in children's ministry, but we can teach them about Soma. They'll need to join our church, live in the area, and be involved in a gospel community. It's a similar idea with music ministry. We have many volunteers and many competent musicians and worship leaders. We have 6, I believe, members who used to lead worship in their former church and organise worship for that church. That's quite profound. Jenny was leading music at the CMS Summer School this week in front of 3,000 or 4,000 people. So we have very high-level musicians and very high-level worship leaders. Cam's role, though, is to catalyse musicians and creatives in their ministry, not only in the gathering, through training, through inspiring, through helping write material of our own and so on, and then to support them in their music and creative ministry in their gospel communities and out in the community on mission. So again, Cam's role is to catalyse to get alongside of musicians and creatives. And he's doing one day a week, but we'd love him to have 2 days because you can't do much with one day. So if you'd like to help support Cam, let me know so that we can raise a second day starting sometime this year as funds allow. Fifthly, finances. We have just completed a push to raise money for our church, and we have now enough pledged to meet our budget for this year, and we will need to raise a bit more if we're going to employ a children's worker. But we have, in the blink of an eye, raised our giving and pledging by 25%, which is a staggering outcome for that campaign that we had about giving. And we can only praise God that people have been so generous with their giving to our church, and 100,000 pledged towards a building fund. So thank you for being so generous. And I'd like you to take a moment to just celebrate that fact that we have so many generous people in our church and are willing to give in that way to the ministry here. And Stuart's going to come up and really pray for that and then say some more things.
Thanks, Dave. It's just fantastic that we've been able to increase the amount of giving. And I'm conscious, being in this property here, that we are the beneficiaries of the giving of many Christians that I don't even know them, you know, but I see the names on the different parts of the buildings. And I think it's worth us just acknowledging how good God is to us and to our church in being able to use this site, but also particularly in funding the staffing, which is where most of our money goes to, of course. So let me pray about that, and then I'm going to say some more stuff. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are good to us. We thank you that you give us so much. We live in such a wealthy place, and we are, many of us, just got so much blessing from you in a material sense. We have it too in a spiritual sense, but just now we want to thank you for the generosity of the congregation, for those who have already stepped up and have already begun giving extra money this year. We thank you that that makes it possible for us to do more and more and have a more secure base for funding our staff and their work. We're grateful, Father, because you are a good giver, and we want to be responsible, and we also want to be able to acknowledge what you're doing in our midst here. Thank you for this campsite and for the potential uses of it in the future. We thank you for those who have contributed and continue to put into the site, so we are able to benefit from that. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave mentioned that we're going to have a little series on life hacks, you know, the idea of knowing how to do things and doing them well. And so I'm going to be the person to give you the first life hack. And this life hack is about when you hear about a church vision, how do you respond? So that's what we're going to do. And I remember, I was just thinking years and years ago, I was a minister at a church. It was a beautiful little church right near the ocean, classic stone church with the stained glass windows. And there was this archway that lots of photos were taken from of the ocean over the side. Really lovely. And lots of weddings. That was all part of it. But I was doing this series, sermon series, and it was on sort of, you know, really critical issues in life, very practical stuff. And one of the ones was on anxiety. And I wanted to make the point about anxiety as part of our lives, but Christ makes a difference to that. And so there was a whole kind of theology bit based around that. But one of the things I think I wanted to do was I want people to just come and just feel a little edgy. And so what I did was I got these really big sheets of paper and wrote things on them, you know, like a picture of all the bills you've got. And then on another one was a sort of a daily timetable. And then all the stuff the kids had to do and all that sort of... And I put them up, you know, big banners on the walls. And then the really critical thing was I got the pews. There was just a lovely aisle that the, you know, brides used to walk down. Lovely aisle. And I pushed all the pews from the outside to the inside. So there's no aisle. See, when you came in, there was this like a wall of wood, and you had to come in and then go out and then around the side and then come into where you normally sat. Anyway, it was successful because most people were, whoa, what is this? You know, it's Stuart again. He's done this. So that was kind of fun. But what struck me afterwards is this one guy who was so angry. He was so angry that I had done that. And he assumed that was my intention, was to keep the church building in that form. That was not my intention at all. Next week, we're back to normal. But he had an assumption about what was going on in terms of this one-off is the vision of the church's structure. And I just thought there's a little bit of a lesson in there for all of us. So I want to talk about this life hack of how do we get on when we hear a church vision, the different things. And thanks, Dave, for outlining all the stuff. That's been really helpful. And we've been talking about it, the committee's been talking about it, lots of individuals have been talking about contributing to what this should look like. But let's think about how do we actually enjoy this more as a church, as individuals, as couples, and as families, and as GCs? How do we actually buy into this in a way which does recognise that we're not going to buy into every part of it? That's the critical part for this life hack. So I want to say, first of all, it's okay if, as you heard, David, you go, it doesn't concern me. Oh, that's not quite how I'd do it. That's okay. Now, what do we do with that? How do we focus on that? One of the things we need to do is come to terms with the idea that our personal priorities and the way we would individually do a thing may not be the way the church's priorities will run and how we'll do it. That's the first thing for us to get. How we express that is the real issue. It is possible, you see, to say, discuss a topic like that and say, I don't like that. And you can do it in a very corrosive way, or you can do it in a very constructive way. I'm suggesting we go for the constructive. It's possible to do it with a critical spirit or with an encouraging spirit. I'm suggesting we have an encouraging spirit, even as we don't think that's the best thing or disagree with the thing. But what do we do with it? And the first thing is to recognize that your priorities or preferences may not be what is actually then agreed by the rest of the church, the ministry team, by SoMeeti, and by the people who are actually involved in running the ministry, the volunteer people, the members of the church who are doing that. Second thing is I want to very practically encourage you, I've only got 2 points, this is the second one, is the idea of moving from they to we language. From they are doing this to we are doing this. So if someone said to you, how are things at SoMa? You could say, well, they started a new gathering, and also that's a meeting at Camp Fletcher. Did you hear how the word was? They are doing something. I would love for you to have a we are doing this. I'm not part of that congregation necessarily, that new gathering, perhaps, but we are doing this. Maren and I had dinner with some friends last night, don't go to our church, and we asked them, how's your church going? And the woman was saying how it's a multi-congregation church. They're closing one congregation, they're starting another one. And she started to say, they've done this. And she corrected herself. She didn't even finish the sentence. This is what we're doing, she said. I thought, that's just what my talk is about. That's brilliant. That she actually owned the whole thing, even though she was disappointed at one of the decisions that had been made. And so it was clear that that was a disappointment, but it was also clear that she owned it. She owned the whole church. And I thought that was just a wonderful thing. And it's about moving from describing what's happening as an outsider, they are doing something, to being an insider. Not pretending you agree necessarily with everything, or you would have the same priority, or you'd go about it that way, but having a sense that we are a body together. We're called soma. Soma is the Greek word for body, the body of Christ. And as a body, have you noticed how often when that language is used in the scriptures, that the writer, Paul typically, will talk about how we're to get on together? That's the key thing a body does, is it actually gets on with itself. And so that's a really critical part of what I want to encourage us here to do today, is to learn to get on together. And times of change, whether it's moving the pews in a lovely little church, or whether it's a new venue, or a new gathering, or a new this, or a change in that, whatever those things, that is actually the business that we've got, to get on together in those times. And to make our contribution, to say, what about this, or how come that? But to do it in a way which shows that we love each other, because that's ultimately how we'll be known. Now, I think DNAs and GCs are a really critical part of this, for us to be able to process some of these changes, because some changes that happen may cause you disruption, may cause you difficulty. Let's own that, be real about it, and let's work it through in a positive sort of way, in however that's going to mean for you. Maybe you then, having discussed it with friends, you want to come and talk to me or Dave, or to the committee, or to suggest something, or do something with it like that. That is a healthy and a good way to function. So let's be those kind of people. Now, take for example, down the track, just suppose we can't find a children's pastor. Suppose we can't find that person. It'd be very easy in 2 or 3 months' time, when the need is still as great as it is now, for you to use a little sentence like, they should have put someone on. That is true. Except we can't find somebody, I'm guessing. I hope we do. Let's pray and let's try and find somebody. But if we can't, then we've got to come up with another way of functioning. Because there is this incredible need that we've been seeing with our kids. And as a committee and as a staff and as a church generally, most of us want to have a children's pastor. But what if we can't? We're going to have to work that out. And so let's have a language which is a positive, inclusive. We need to work this out and then be part of the solution. Maybe just in prayer. You may be the last person to actually contribute anything to the kids' ministry. But just in prayer at least, and in owning the issue, that would be wonderful. Because it's not possible to magically materialise somebody we can't find to do the task. A member of the body will speak, pray and act differently from a person who sits on the side in judgment. We're going to take time now to pray. And these little booklets will be a great guide, the things that Dave's been saying, the things I've been saying. And what we want you to do is just jump into small groups, whatever you're comfortable with, 3, 4, 5 people. Have a little browse through, and let's take 10 minutes to pray about our church, our vision, the start of the year, give thanks for this site, all the sorts of things we've been praying about. And at the end, Jack is going to finish with a prayer to round it out. So please just jump into a group, change your chairs, that's all fine. And we've just got another song after that. I think we finish up at that point. Is that right, Toad?
Yeah.
Great. Time to...